my name is Chris Stultz. I'm a doctoral student at NYU, and today I'm going to be talking about intimate partner violence in relation to substance use in a risk in a cohort study of young men who have sex with men in New York City. This is part of a series of analyses that I've been working on with my mentor Perry Halkidis, as well as the co-authors that are listed here. I have no relationships to disclose. So I'll tell you a little bit about the study where the data comes from. This is from the Syndemic Production Among Emergent Adult Men study, which is funded by NIDA. It's a prospective cohort study of HIV risk, sexual behavior, substance use, and mental health burden in a racially, ethnically diverse cohort of young gay, bisexual, and other young men who have sex with men. Going forward, I'm just going to say YMSM to sort of expedite the words coming out of my mouth. Which I hope you understand. There's a lot of acronyms this morning. So the two main purposes and the two main aims of our analysis today was to assess substance use frequency among sexual minority men, and then also to assess the associations of IPV and the likelihood of having engaged in substance use, in this case alcohol, marijuana, stimulants, and other drugs in the last month. So just a little background information. Some of this may be redundant. As you know, IPV is common among same-sex couples. The prevalence rates range from study to study, and the reason that is because there's some methodological differences from study to study. There's little understanding of some of the unique risk factors that might be associated with IPV, and most studies with same-sex couples only focus on IPV victimization and do not often include questions about perpetration. So, as I mentioned earlier, these data come from a prospective cohort study of an ethnically, racially diverse cohort of YMSM. About 2,000 people were screened to participate in the study. In order to enroll, they had to be 18 or 19 years old. They had to be born biologically male and report at least one sex act in the last 6 months, and a reported HIV negative or unknown status. So the sample itself at baseline was 600 participants. We then took a subset of that of 528 participants, those that had indicated that had been in some kind of romantic relationship. So we excluded, as some of the other presenters did as well, those that hadn't had any kind of romantic or intimate partner relationships. Briefly, just to give you a little bit of a sense of the characteristics of this sample, so 40% approximately reported being Hispanic or Latino, about 30% reported being Black. Thirty percent reported being white, that is. 17% reported being Black, and then the remainder of the sample was Asian, Pacific Islander, mixed, or other. And I'm bringing these things up because I'm going to talk about how they were used in the analysis in a moment. The socioeconomic status, this is perceived familial SES. It's about a third lower, a third middle, third upper SES. Like I said, the reason I'm mentioning those things, in addition to just giving you an idea of what this sample looks like, is that we had a previous analysis that showed there were psychosocial differences in substance use in our sample, so they were included as covariates in the analysis going forward. Namely, that white men tend to, at least in our sample, tend to use substances at greater frequency, and the men at the highest SES brackets tend to also report the highest substance use frequency. So as far as measures that were included in the study, at least for the purpose of this analysis, IPV was assessed using six yes-no questions, so three questions asking about victimization, three questions asking about perpetration. They're similar to the questions that were presented in the previous presentations. Substance use was assessed using the timeline follow-back, which is a 30-day calendar-based instrument where you ask participants on how many days did you use XYZ substances. To give you a sense of the frequency in the last 30 days. So once we had that information, we computed variables in order to do the analysis for today's presentation. So what we did was we summed all of these things, and so for alcohol, marijuana, they remain as reported initially. We grouped the stimulants together because we found in an exploratory analysis that the stimulants tended to kind of clump together, so cocaine, ecstasy, methamphetamine, and then all the other drugs that we asked about, and we included pretty much everything in the timeline follow-back, are included in a category that we're calling other drugs. And The four substance use variables were then trichotomized into zero instance, one instance, or two or more instances. And again, this is the last 30 days. I should also say that the IPV variables that I'll be discussing in a moment, one is where I'm just going to refer to as any IPV, which is a participant that reported any experience of IPV at some point in their life. So that could have been victimization or perpetration, and that could have been any type. So it could have been sexual, it could have been physical, it could have been emotional. But then I'm also going to parse out another variable, which I'm going to refer to as victimization, which is people that reported victimization at some point, but not necessarily perpetration. And then I'm also going to talk about perpetration, which is, again, people that reported perpetration, but not necessarily victimization. So to examine the extent to which IPV related to substance use, we did 12 distinct two-step multinomial logistic regression analyses, which is very hard to say at 9:15 or 9:30 in the morning, especially on the last day of the conference. And so what we were looking to do was to see the effect of any IPV, which was the variable I was discussing a moment ago, victimization and perpetration on the four substance use variables that we computed. And as I mentioned earlier, the psychosocial variables, specifically race and SES, were entered as covariates into the first step because we know there are differences by those groups. So just to give you a sense of the substance use frequency in our sample, again, this is 528 YMSM at baseline from New York City. So about 63% of them reported two or more instances of alcohol use in the last month. Around 35% reported two or more instances of marijuana use in the last month. Around 6% reported two or more instances of stimulant use in the last month. And like I mentioned earlier, stimulants include cocaine, methamphetamine, ecstasy, and non-medical use of prescription stimulants. And then the other substances category, around 2% reported some type of other substance use in the previous month. Okay, so the results of our regression analyses indicate, any IPV, which again is that catch-all variable that refers to victimization and or perpetration or both, is significantly associated with two or more instances of alcohol use in the last 30 days, so the adjusted odds ratio there was 1.6. All three IPV states, that is IPV experience, any IPV, IPV victimization, and IPV perpetration, are significantly associated with two or more instances of marijuana use in the last 30 days. The AOR there is 1.7. Any IPV and IPV perpetration, but not victimization, is associated with one instance of stimulant use in the last 30 days. As we saw before, the frequencies on some of these are a bit low, so the way the analysis kind of played out was a bit interesting when it came to that one instance as opposed to the two or more instances. And the model fit for other drug use, although it was statistically significant, the frequency of other drug use was so small, it's really hard to sort of take a lot from this sort of finding. But nonetheless, the adjusted odds ratios for that was 4 to 6. And so this is just a table. The actual table for this analysis is 3 pages long. It's massive. It's really hard to read. But just to give you a sense of the adjusted odds ratios there. So as I mentioned before, so what we found essentially is that IPV experiences are associated with increased frequency of substance use, even when controlling for race, ethnicity, and SES. Of course, we can't draw any causal conclusions from this. However, it is important to note that there are differences in terms of the sort of temporal precedence of the two measures we use. IPV was assessed lifetime, substance use was last 30 days. So there's some things that might be inferred down the road that might be able to help inform other studies. And as far as mechanisms for this relationship, we're still sort of thinking about that, you know, for future analyses. Is substance use conferring risk for IPV? Is that the direction of the arrow? Is substance use a coping mechanism for IPV? Is it both? That would be my guess. But nonetheless, those are things to consider. And so we're looking at this as the study is a study of syndemic production. We are considering IPV and substance use within the context of syndemic theory, which I know the presenters earlier also touched upon, but basically this idea of synergistic epidemics, so where IPV might be increasing risk for substance use, substance risk might be increasing risk for IPV, and sexual risk and all the other health disparities disproportionately affecting YMSM. And again, like I said, experiences of IPV may further magnify this population's already increased risk for the aforementioned physical and mental health disparities. So some of the limitations that I want to discuss today. So IPV experiences cannot be construed as causal, as I mentioned before. Specific psychological factors that may help to explain the relationship between IPV and substance use were not included in this analysis. The substance use was measured using recall data, and the independent variable in this case, which was IPV status, was measured, was assessed dichotomously. So there's a bit of a lack of specificity there. Also, because of the small cell sizes, we had to sort of combine Asian, Pacific Islander, and mixed or other race into one sort of catch-all category, which doesn't allow us to necessarily tease out individual differences within those groups. So as far as implications and future directions that we would like to recommend and sort of see, so one important thing would be to, we would suggest increasing screening for IPV and substance use in YMSM. We see this as possibly being a part of HIV testing or other points of access for YMSM where you could easily ask one question about this and perhaps link somebody that otherwise wouldn't have access or maybe be prompted to go into some sort of care, whether it's mental health or otherwise. And then IPV services and interventions should be tailored to the unique needs of YMSM. To my knowledge, there aren't any specific models that address this population. And we see that as being very important. As far as future recommendations for research, we suggest employing longitudinal methodologies in order to better understand the dynamic relationship between IPV and substance use, and also to better examine how relevant individual dispositional or mental health variables may influence IPV and substance use over time. So thank you very much for your time this morning. That's our team at NYU, the folks that sort of make the magic happen and allow me to present this data. So thank you.